Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. In this powerful and raw episode of Keeping It Real, I'm going to sit down with Cindy Sharp. Now, that name should tell you that you're going to get something really good. She's the founder of Self-Love Leader and the creator of the Love Drop Method. Now, you know we got to hear about this. Born with Poland syndrome, Cindy turned her difference into a divine design. Ain't that something? And now she's teaching women over 50 how to do the same thing. So all you ladies who are over 50 better pay attention. Get your pen, your paper, and listen to what we got to say today. Together, we're uncovering true self-love, that making sure what it looks like when the world tells you you're too old, you're too different, and it's too late. Don't let them tell you that, though. So this conversation goes beyond the surface of confidence. It's about leadership, purpose, and healing, and the power of owning your story. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here, too. And just reading over all that you've done, and I love how you take on the power of over the 50. Take it. We're tired of being over the hill. We're tired of that. We're not over the hill. We're on the same road. We're not over the hill. We're on the same road. You can see us.
That's it. Us girls just need to make sure that we aren't giving up too soon. And that's why I speak to the woman over 50, because I've noticed that some of them are giving up, and it's time. It's not time for us to give up. It's our time to shine.
That's right. That's right. That's the new success. The new success code is self-love. That's it. So today, I want you to really talk to me about how you show up in the world. That's my first question to you. How do you show up in the world?
That's a really super great question, because we obviously, you know, we all carry this kind of backpack with us. Sometimes it's a backpack of rocks, and sometimes it's a backpack of love, or a mixture of the two. And how I try to show up in the world is to be the best person I can, to be a guiding light to others. Do I do that every moment? I don't think that's realistic, but my goal is to, in some way, be able to show some love and light to others just by being not only in my presence, but me having the gratitude of being in their presence.
Gotcha. That's good. That's good. I'm glad that you are doing that and you're showing up in your world like that, because we all need that. So now I want you to tell me about, because I know that you said Poland syndrome. Explain to us what that is and the uniqueness of it.
This is really the basis for my whole life and the basis of my work, which of course we'll get into, but let's talk a little bit about it. So I was born with this very rare birth defect, which is, you know, less than, you know, 1% of the 1% of the world population. I mean, it's just very rare. And one of the things that you are born with, there's many different things that you can have, heart problems, maybe missing some ribs, these types of things. But the most common things are that you are born with a hand or arm difference. And I have two hands that are different. I call them my jazz hands. And then, but the thing that really was the biggest struggle, or the thing that I carried around very heavily, kind of like that box of rocks, or not box of rocks, but that backpack full of rocks, was that I was born with a congenital radical mastectomy. And that left me feeling very, very different. It left me feeling like I didn't fit in. It left me with this sense of, I'm not like the other girls. You know, I'm not pretty. I'm not, you know, all those things that come along with having balanced breasts, so to speak. And so the thing about it is that, you know, for many years, it was kind of my biggest challenge. But at some point, it turned around and I realized that it was really what I call my love drop. And that is that it was that one little drop of love that I got that you didn't get, or that the other girl down the street didn't get, that is unique and different. And as soon as I was able to, you know, kind of walk through that veil of feeling like I wasn't worthy, I wasn't valuable, there was nothing that I could say that would matter to the world because I was different. Once I actually got to the point of understanding that difference was my golden ticket, so to speak. It was the love that only I could share, the light that I was here to bring. It's, you know, a really interesting birth defect, but it has some pluses in the long run. And part of that might be because I have a little gray hair and you learn a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. How did your difference become the foundation for your leadership style?
Oh, that's really a good question too. Here's a little bit about my background that you may not know, but I was an AVP for JPMorgan Chase at one point in my career. And what I found is that I thought what was going on is, boy, I'm just coming into this feeling this, you know, insecurity that I've carried all my life, this, you know, I'm not valuable and I'm not worthy. And what I learned and what I found out was that what was really going on, what was really going on is the fact that when it comes to leadership, there is a style of leadership that women do different than men do. And so when I started really accepting myself and really loving myself and really allowing myself to know it's not about me and me being different, it's about the fact that as a woman, I have something to share that is different from the regular leadership style. And the regular leadership style, I like to explain in this kind of it's a very old saying by Lee Iacocca, and that is move, follow, or get out of the way, which is a real male-generated way of leadership.
Yeah.
And what I've learned myself is that leadership itself, when it comes to the style of how we as women lead, is more compassionate. It's more understanding. It's more loving. And when I learned this, I started teaching it. And it was a combination of two things. And the two things are, one, having my own self-acceptance of who I am, and two, seeing that within that self-acceptance as a woman, that I had a voice and my voice was important because it came from love and compassion.
Yeah. And I think, I know I'm from the real estate world and you gave a great example of, you know, men dominated area. I'm from the real estate world. So that was my profession over 20 something years. And that was very male dominated, you know. And to see, I think we had in my remote area, we had about 3 to 4, that had their women brokers who had their own offices. You know, either they were working under somebody, you know, or the social broker, but they never had. But the what I wanted to get to with what you were talking about is the leadership style. And I remember going to a meeting and, you know, I'm like this all the time. Hi, everybody. You know, I'm like that, you know, I'm just like that all the time. And I go into this meeting and it was a meeting for women in real estate. So there was about 10 to 12 women there from Suffolk County to Nassau County, about that many. And so I walk in and everybody's got this staunch look on their face. So I'm like, okay, I would expect this in men, right? Because, you know, they're like, what are you doing here? This is when, you know, that was the look. He's like, what are you doing here? Because you're a woman. You're not supposed to be here. But these are all women.
Right.
We sometimes take on leadership from the male perspective, you know, the male part of us. And we when we lead, sometimes those things kind of show up that we learned it from men, but we have, is, do you think that is a survival mode for some of us women?
I think that, first let me just say one thing to you, and that is, when I was working for JP Morgan Chase, I was in the mortgage business. So the real estate business and the mortgage business are very, very similar.
Yes.
And I don't want to say this in a negative context, but it's of a little bit of a boys club. And I think the thing is that what we have found as women ourselves is that wherever we are, we haven't really been at that place where we are, what is the best way to explain it? Where we are accepted in this role as a leader. And so the only person that we have to look at is, who do we model? We're going to model after the male leaders. And when we're modeling after the male leaders, what happens? We're not bringing our heart. We're not bringing our compassion. We're not bringing those magical listening skills that we
exactly
have.
So we're not ourselves.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think happens is that we want to do a good job. You know, women are the providers. Women are the child bearers. You know, we come into this world with this very loving, magical energy, but we also come in and we want to do a good job. And when you are in, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're in the corporate world, what ends up happening is that you look how the other leaders do it, you go, oh, they're successful. That must be how it's done.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons that I do what I do, because we really have to come from our own self-worth and the knowledge that we women have something to share. And it's going to make a big difference in the world once we finally stop hiding and get out and share it.
Absolutely. I interviewed a woman by, her name is Dr. Tana Session, and her book is Stop Being the Best Kept Secret. Because we are, you know, and it's amazing that, you know, for years we can live in that, you know, because we do have the masculine and feminine sides of us inside of us, but sometimes we do. You know, because of situations, I know for me, all of my, while I was raising my children, I was raising them on my own. So guess where I was all the time? I was in the masculine side, right? So only time that I really was vulnerable, really, with anyone was with my children, because they didn't see that part, because I was still trying to navigate and, like you said, be in that world because I had to be. So I, you know, that's where I lived a lot. And not until later on, when I'm, you know, an empty nester, did I say, hey, I'm acting like a dude around.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good. Something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back. And giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah. You know, I got to start embracing my feminine self. And I had to start to, what does that even look like? Because I lived there so long, you know? And I think it has to do with self-worth. And here's my big, my question. So when I became an empty nester is around in the 50s, when I was 50s, right? So what's the biggest lie women around the 50s still believe about self-worth? Because that living in that masculine part that we have to, because that's survival. That's survival, right? It's survival. So right. What's the right. still the thing that we believe in our self-worth and our purpose? What's that lie that we believe that's the reason why we stay there?
The lie that we believe is the fact that all that we've believed all our life about ourselves, all our insecurities, all our feelings of not being confident about who we are as a human being, is that we connect to that lie, that little rivet in our brain, the record that goes round and round and round, keeps on that track, and we don't release it. And so that is how we get stuck in that lie.
Right. And we don't release it. That's the thing. We don't. That's good.
You just get
stuck. All right, audience, you hear that. I hope you're writing this down. I hope you're writing this down because it's good stuff.
Get your pen and paper out.
Get it out. Pop on your phone recorder. Let's do it. Let's go. So we're gonna jump over to the other part of you, which is the self-love. I want to talk about that. What does real self-love look like beyond affirmations and bubble baths? Tell them about it.
You know, this is where it gets very confusing. And this is why a lot of women never feel like they achieve true self-love, is because it's putting ourselves first. And if that means having a bubble bath, you know, it's part of it. It's all great and fine and wonderful.
Right.
But the fact is that it is this energy of acceptance and this confidence that just runs through all the things we do in life. And that means one thing, accepting our beauty and our magic and accepting our box of rocks that comes with it. So it's about just accepting us at the clearest, deepest level, not trying to just love ourselves completely every day. And, oh, wow, I'm just amazing. The fact of the matter is, yes, we are all amazing. But we also come along with things that maybe, you know, aren't that warm and fuzzy. And those things are okay, too.
Yeah. I just found out that in my own journey just recently, that even a form of communication is self-care. And what I mean by that is I would just allow people just to say whatever and then get emotionally and get angry and answer them, right? Because I would get emotional.
Sure.
But now something happened over the weekend and it was like total disrespect. And I'm telling you, the way that I answered it, it wasn't in my emotional self. It was so truthful and so clear that I answered it amongst a lot of people. And it was like, you could drop a pin. And it was like, wow, that makes so much sense. But the experience, I'm telling you, Cindy, the experience was, I was standing on the outside of myself. I could see myself talking. And I'm going, wait, is anybody else experiencing this? And when I got finished speaking, I realized that communication, not allowing someone to speak down to you, but not being emotional, but being able to say it in truth and be very clear and confident about it, is also self-care.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh,
And
yes,
when you tell
absolutely.
that story, which
That
is interesting
story,
because
which is interesting
before
because
you told the
before
story
you
and you
told
said
the
that you were
story, you
watching
said that
yourself
you were
from the
watching
outside,
yourself
saying
from the outside,
these
yes.
things,
saying
I visually
these
could kind of
things.
see
I visually
that.
could kind
And
of see that.
crazy
And
as that may possibly
crazy
sound.
That may
But
possibly sound.
I'm just giving you a little feedback, and that is what I think happened
on
that moment is
you were.
Your old
you
self
were,
was
your
standing
old
outside
self
of yourself,
outside
and
of
your
yourself,
real self,
and
the
real
true self,
yeah,
the
that's
girl
right.
that you are inside, was
inside,
speaking,
yes.
and you
was
were
speaking,
watching her.
You were watching
and what a
her.
Magic
yes.
moment
what
for
a
you!
What a magic moment for you!
Oh my gosh, it was so magical. I felt like I don't know what a fairy feels. You know how the fairies with the fluttering around and popping all. I felt like that. I was like, that felt really great. What was that? You know, and not until later on, I figured out what it was, you know, like what you just said. I was like, oh, is that that's what's going on? You know, let's talk about, like, I want to take that and move it further with you.
Sure.
Working with women who are over 50 also, you know, getting to that higher self is also, you know, self-care. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So are we talking about,
so
are you talking,
talking
about more
talking
in like a spiritual higher self?
Yeah, or unless you're doing the inner work. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're doing your inner work
yeah.
and changing from that. Yes.
One of the things that
One
happens,
of the things that
and
happens,
I totally,
I
in,
totally
when I work with women,
when I
we
work
do
with women,
work
we
on
do
mindset
work
and
on
inner
mindset
work.
And inner
but
work.
One thing that we try to do is
we try to
completely
honor
who we are,
at a core level.
What happens a lot of times, you know, this happens with women over 50 is, you know, you may have had this happen to you, is where, you know, our bodies start changing and our kind of hormones start changing. And we've gone through this life maybe of not feeling valuable and worthy. And like now it's like, oh, okay, now what's going on? And really, that's almost like, it's like the lily coming up through the mud and opening it. That absolutely beautiful part of life where we actually can really start opening our hearts to a you know a bigger I'm the word is not coming to me, but it's clear. It's one level down from self-love, or one level, I should say, deeper, not down, but deeper
right.
in
yes,
self-love.
Deeper, yeah.
And it's that
right.
complete 100% acceptance of who we are.
Right.
Of who we are.
Yeah. It's that gut feeling that it's deeper than self-worth. And I don't, that word is evading me too. It's deeper than self-worth.
Yes.
It's the gut feeling that you had when you were 5 years old. And that when you were outside riding the bike, you didn't need mommy to do it, help you with it. You could do it. You could,
right.
you know how that age
right.
is like, I don't want no
That's
help.
It.
I can do it.
That's
that feeling.
Right.
That
That's
feeling.
Right.
You
That's
want
it.
To do it
That's
all
it.
Your own. I don't know what the word, and it evades me too, but that's
it'll come to us
like,
while we're together.
Right.
I know between the two of us, we'll get it. But
yes.
It's that place where we stop asking for permission, and it's that place where we start showing ourselves completely, you know, peeled
back.
Everything doesn't
have to be
perfect. We let go of that
perfectionism.
And we just are these magical beings that
magical
we were born to be.
That's right. Just magical. Just magical. With no mystery at all. Just magical.
No mystery.
How can
no
women
mystery.
Reclaim their voice and lead their lives with intention, especially after trauma, rejection, or reinvention?
Well, I'm going to say something that, you know, not always is something that people are going to resonate with, but I'm going to give you my take on this. And that is, a lot of us
get
into this
key of
I have to heal.
I have had so much things happen to me.
And, you know, before the show started, we talked for a few minutes and you shared with me about your story. I have my own story, like your story. And what we feel like is we're broken and we have to heal. And I think it's different. I don't think that we're broken and we have to heal. I think we have to remember who we are.
That's it.
We are.
That's it. That is it. Yes. High five with you. High five with you.
High five, honey buddy. I'm high fiving you. We have to remember who we are because we were born perfect. We were born in this as a being that came here on a mission to do something magical. And the fact is that we need to just release all those layers, let them go. Stop trying to heal something that's broken because you're not broken. You're perfect.
You're perfect.
No, that's correct. I love that. I love that, Cindy. Now, I know this is the end of the show, but I want you to tell us anything that you're going to be doing, you know, anything exciting coming the ending part, last quarter of this year, and what's going on and how they can reach out to you.
Okay, great. Okay, one thing that I'd like to share my whole work is done a thing called the love drop method. Honoring your love drop. And the love drop is what we've been talking about today. And that's honoring this person that we were born to be, just like we are, just like we came to this magical earth. And so the love drop is that one drop of magic. That one drop and essence of your being that was given to you before you got here, that you committed to while you're on earth. And so what I do is I teach women how to find that love drop, how to honor that love drop, and how to get out on their mission and their soul's calling that they are here to share.
Yeah.
And how I do that is I work with people a couple of different ways, but right at the moment, I'm working with people one-on-one. And if they want more information about that, or they'd like to speak to me directly, they can go to my webpage, which is theselfloveleader.com, and they can do one of three things. They can sign up and speak to me directly. They can get my free book. And I also have a workbook that women who would like to start working on their workbook that they can just write in and use it as a journal, and it magically takes them to where they need to be to find their own love.
Awesome. Well, Cindy, thank you for keeping it real on purpose with us today. To everyone listening, if this episode moved you, share it with somebody, like and subscribe, and you let you know that you have your own little love drop, okay? Don't forget to like, to subscribe, and hit that bell so you never miss an episode. And remember, your difference is your divine design. Now go lead from the mind up. See you next time around. Bye for now.
Thank you for having me.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.